Yes, people, it is that time of the week. I hope you are all set for a new episode of Echo Chamber. Yes. And as we do, we will be starting off with the UK box office top 10 for the weekend of the 5th to the 8th of May. All right, so at number 10 is Return to Seoul. Right, this is directed by David Chu, who co-wrote with Laura Badalou. It's starring Park Ji-min, Oh Kwae-ruk, Guka Han, Kim Song-yong, Yoan Zimmer, Jin Heo. Our number 9 film is Jodi. I had no other information on that one. Our number 8 film then is the new one from Mani Ratanan. It is Ponyin Salvan 2, which is written by Devia Prakash Dubey, Jayama Bom, and Kalaki Krishamamov. He's starring Vikram Kafi, Jayam Ravi. Okay, let's jump to our number 7 film of the week, which is Air. Right, this is directed by Ben Affleck, written by Alex Convy, stars Affleck, Matt Damon, Jason Bateman, Chris Messina, Viola Davis, Julius Tenen, Chris Tucker, Matthew Mayer, Damien DeLong Young. So at number 6 this week, it is Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves. All right, so Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis Daly direct. Daly co-writes with Michael Gilio, starring Michelle Rodriguez, Chris Pine, Reggie Jean Page, Justice Smith, Sophia Lillies, Hugh Grant, Chloe Coleman, Jason Wong, Sophia Eleni. Right, so we're in the top 5, people, and still holding strong, we have John Wick Chapter 4. Right, Chad Stahelski directs, and Shea Hatton and Michael Finch write. Got Keanu Reeves, Donnie Yen, Bill Skarsgård, Lawrence Fishburne, the great late Lance Riddick, Ian McShane, Scott Adkins, Rena Swamami, right, Shamir Anderson, Hiroki Sander. It's a great one, people. Very much enjoyed it. At number 4, The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry, right? This is directed by Hetty MacDonald, written by Rachel Joyce, and we have Jim Broadbent, Penelope Witten, Monica Guzman, Manave Fiaria, Nia Singh, Joseph Maidel, all starring in the piece. At number 3 is the latest from Lee Conrin, wrote and directed Evil Dead Rise. Boom, boom, boom. Starring Alyssa Sutherland, Lily Sullivan, Morgan Davis, Nell Fisher, Gabrielle Escoz. I hear it is very good. At number 2, we have the Super Mario Brothers movie. This is from Aaron Horvath and Michael Jelinek, written by Matthew Fogel, voice cast Chris Pratt, Charlie Day, Anna Taylor-Joy, Jack Black, Kevin Michael Richardson, Kyrie Payton, Charles Martinet. Yeah, so that means, people, the number one film in the UK this week is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. James Gunn directs and co-writes with Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning. Actually, no. They wrote the comic books, right? So I guess they get writing credits because parts of the comics have been used. That's what I imagine. So Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Dave Bautista, Vin Diesel, Bradley Cooper, Karen Gillan, Pom Cunliffe are all back, along with Sean Gunn, Elizabeth Debicki, Sylvester Stallone, Will Poulter, Kwakwadi Iwaji, Daniela McClure, Michael Rosenbaum, Maria Baklava, Nico Santos, Sarah Alami, and Sarah Aline. There you go, people. That is what's going down in the charts on this side of the pond, right? So now let's get into this week's film, shall we? Let's do it. Okay, people, let's start things off with a new Netflix joint. It is AKA. Okay, people, so I wanted an action film, right? I wanted something that I could just enjoy for what it is. I didn't want to think too much, you know what I mean? So I checked out AKA, new Netflix original. It is directed by Morgan S. Dalbert, who co-wrote the film with Alban Lenoir. The film is produced by Remy Luter. Music is handled by Etienne Forget. Cinematography is Florent Astoffi. Tianz Monstur edits the piece. Casting is Marine Albert, Valerie Espanage, and Manon Guchard. Production design is Delphine Ricon. Costume design is Marion Moliz and Mathieu Camblou. Hair and makeup, we've got Frederique Ney and Anne Bouchon. Then our cast. Well, we have Alban Lenoir as Adam Franco. Now, when I was watching this film, right, the main villain, Victor, I was looking at him and I'm thinking, I recognize that cat, right? For a minute, I was like, kind of looks like Dave Bautista, but not quite, right? Not as big. And then I'm thinking, it's not Eric Cantona, is it? It was, people. It was Eric Cantona, played Victor Pasteur. We have Philippe de Montelbund playing Kruger. Natalia who's Victor's wife, is played by Sylvia Alviti. Pee Wee, one of Victor's henchmen, is played by Sadu Camara. Helene is played by Lucille Galamou. Mokhtar is played by Kevin Lane. Senator Maran is played by Philippe Resimont. Cisco is played by Vincent Henin. Mona, played by Natalie Odzelenchka. Yusuf, played by Steve Tenenshu. JB, Constantine Vidal. Jonathan, no. Chabat, Manu is Hugo Dillion. Sophia is played by Claudia Zengu. Who else do we have? Oh, yeah. So Helene, Victor and Natalie's daughter, is played by Lucille Gallamou. Jonathan, the little boy, the son. Helene's brother is played by Nur Shabbat. Yes. I think that's all our main characters, really. The gist of the film is this. Adam is a lone wolf with countless fake identities and passports who does the dirty work for any government who will hire him. His new mission, infiltrate a criminal organization in France to thwart an imminent attack. This time, however, he'll need a foolproof identity. So he's told to use his own. Bum, bum, bum. But when Adam ends up bonding with the crime boss's son, he faces a moral dilemma that may jeopardize his mission. So, there you go. Now, I'm watching this film and I'm thinking, okay, AKA, right? Is that standing for, you know, the fact that this guy has got multiple identities? Or is AKA like AKA we don't really have a fucking plot? You know what I mean? That's the thing here, right? It opens up and we have this big sequence, you know what I mean? Guy gets, it looks like he's been kidnapped by this group, and then, you know, he breaks out all carnage and he does a thing that you're like, what? Right? Which does, because it doesn't make any sense because he saves the person, right? So you're like, okay, this is very peculiar, but it's just to show, oh, this person's badass, right? But then that's it. They don't really give us much about the character, Adam. So you just don't give a fuck about the character. You know? It's one of them. And it always, like, these kind of films always just remind me of Commando. Remember that Schwarzenegger film? And there's that scene where he's on a lawn, right? On a lawn. There is no cover. And there's a fucking army in front of him. And he's shooting. And this army are shooting, he's hitting every single person he aims at. They cannot hit him, right? They cannot hit him. It's like going bareback in a brothel. It's just like, you're gonna get something, right? But these motherfuckers don't touch anything. It's crazy. It is crazy. And, yeah, that's the case with this film, right? We see Adam in mad fights, and he's not really getting touched. Like, the one time he is hit, like, we see him kind of like, oh, and then, you know, moments later, or it might have been the next day, right? Technically, when I say the next day, a few hours later, right? He's up just doing whatever. And you're like, listen, we watch real fighting. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, yo, the UFC and mixed martial arts, they have really shown that a lot of the stuff we used to watch and think, yo, that's insane, is straight up bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, you're not taking all those shots to the head and just walking on, right? It's just not happening. It's silliness. So there's that. But I think because, you know, we've seen the films where someone bonds with someone they're not meant to, right? Leon, a great example of that, right? Oh, my days. There's, oh, shit, motherfucker. I cannot remember the name. It's a Netflix joint, right? And it's got Mary was Winslow, Winsplat, Winsman, Mary Elizabeth, you know what I mean? She was in Scott Pilgrim. She's a great actress. She's a lead. And she's a hit woman and she bonds with this girl. That's a great fucking film, people. It's got the name of a person. I know, real not helpful here. Real not fucking helpful. I covered it last year. I feel it was early last year. Or it might have been the year before. It was probably the year before. I feel it came out during the pandemic. Great film. Great. If I could remember what the fuck it was actually called, I would say. But we have, as I said, look, we've seen the films where someone bonds with and you can see that dilemma. It's all good. And you can see why, right? They sell you on why this happened. With this, though, it's just like it's a little kid, right? Okay, but why is he bonding? Like, we don't really see anything. We don't see why he might bond with these kids. Like, there's no soul here. And that's the thing. It's like action, it's fights, it's all of that. But we just don't get the soul. So it's hard to connect. Right? It's hard to connect with it. Now, right? If you just want action. And I did say I just wanted action. But really, when I say I just want action, I want something that I can watch. Don't necessarily have to think too hard about, but I can be immersed in, right? I can be immersed in. I can believe it, right? I can believe it. It's just like, oh, yeah, that's like Saturday night, right? It's when I save those motherfuckers, you know what I mean? Yeah, so that's me. That's what I do, baby. Right? Well, in my head. Anyway, right? That's what I want. That's what I want. And so when you're watching a film like this and you just, there's just nothing, you know? Right? You it's always setting this one character up as being the baddest motherfucker, right? There's a bit with the head of security for Victor. And it's a big dude. Like, You know what's gonna happen before it happens. But my big thing is that head of security would know what was happening, right? It's not a surprise. So when they don't seem to get it, and it's just like, look, someone's not gonna be a head of security without a little bit of savvy. You know what I mean? A little bit of savvy. Right, this is an 18. And like there's, you know, because what we always see, right? Crime lord, you know, he's got some sort of connection to a strip club, brothel, that kind of thing. So there are flashes of nudity. But it's just like, they really didn't need it. It does not add anything to the story. Doesn't add anything to the story. It's just some pointless thing. It just seems an excuse to have breasts in the film. Don't get me wrong, people. I ain't nothing against breasts. Breasts are great. You know what I mean? But I want my stories to be believable. I want them to be believable. You know what I mean? And just throwing things like that in, it just makes you think, what are we doing here? You know what I mean? What are we doing here? So I will say, right, if You just want something, as I said, like I originally said, that you don't necessarily want to think a whole heap about, right? You just want silly action, all that jazz. And maybe you like stuff like The Doorman, right? Lesson plan. Then this will work for you. I think there's things like Beast, right? Which was, I thought, a stronger film, you know? So there's stuff out there, which this is kind of similar to, but there's stuff out there that was, in my opinion, stronger. But yeah, if you just want like action, 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 right? Killer Bassoon, which we covered recently. If that's your jam, then I will say AKA will work for you. It will resonate. All right, people, there you go. Make up your own mind. Ain't John Wick, though, baby. It ain't John Wick. All right, people, also on Netflix now, as well as Prime, Apple, and all that jazz, it is The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. Okay, people, so I decided to give The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck a look-see, right? I feel
it's a documentary type of thing. It's not really a film, you know,
but it's an adaptation of Mark Manson's book of the same name. Okay, so it is directed by Nathan Price, written by Tom Blackwell and Matthew Metcalf. The film is produced by Matthew Metcalf, executive produced by Peter Touche, Helen Parker, Johnny Fewings, Christelle Conan and Fraser Brown. It is line produced by Mark Foster and co-produced by Norman Merry. Carl Solve Stevens handles the music. Maria Inz Manchego cinematography. Wevham Alpress edits the piece. Kate McGill is on casting. Joseph Leary, production design. Set decoration is Daniel Blit. Makeup is Carl Cameron, Janine Sissy, and Tracy Henton. And Mark Manson narrates the whole thing. Okay, so it's basic. This is what it says, right? This is the little synopsis of the film. So it says it explores society's obsessions with the pure. Okay, let's start again. The film will explore society's obsession with the pursuit of happiness and will be presented by Mark Manson alongside Disappointment Panda, a character from the book whose superpower is to tell people the harsh truth. All right, which doesn't really tell you a lot. So here is the summary of the book. The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck argues that individuals should seek to find meaning through what they find to be important and only engage in values that can control. Values such as popularity that are not under a person's control are, according to the book, bad values. Furthermore, individuals should strive to replace these uncontrollable values with things they have the capability to change, such as punctuality, honesty, or kindness. Manson further cautions against claiming certainty about knowledge that is out of one's grasp, especially in the case of attempting to leave a legacy. Meaning can be found, Manson claims, when one seeks to create joy in the moment for oneself and those around, as opposed to being concerned with building a body of work as a legacy. Which is funny, because he's written several books. So, you know, in fact, he's leaving a legacy. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, like, this is in the realm of self-help, right? And yeah, I'm not a big fan of self-help shit, right? Just because I find, right, that it is creating something that has worked for one person, right? It's a template that worked for one person, and you're basically telling people, oh yes, if you do all of these things, it will work for you too. Which, no, because everyone's situation is different, right? You know what I mean? You might have certain similarities, but there's things that are different. So, you know what I mean, what works for one person isn't necessarily going to work for everyone. But it's always couched in the vein of, this will work for you. It worked for me, right? This made me money. This made me happy. This found me a partner. This blah, 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 right? That's the thing, man. And I, yeah, that's kind of in this. It's kind of in this, I felt, right? There was some, definitely some things that I was like, I don't know if that's true, right? I don't know if that's true. Now, we open up. Right, there's some sort of house party happening, you know, then something's happened as well. So there's paramedics and police rushing through and someone's on the floor. And then we pan out and Manson is sitting in a pool on a Lido, right? Not actually in the water itself. He's sitting on one of those floaty things. Is it a Lido? A floaty, pooly thing. Right, he's there, and around him are a load of synchronized swimmers. I mean, I didn't really understand the need for that. Now, maybe it's a metaphor for something. I have no fucking clue. I don't even know, right? But yeah, just I was just a bit like, eh. You know what I mean? Now, there was a lot of stuff happening in the film visually, which, again, I didn't really feel it added anything, you know? Like, we've got him sitting behind a desk, right? He's in a big, biggish room. There's all stuff all over the place. It's kind of, you know, controlled clutter. He's in like a black t-shirt. You know what I mean? It's a very cultivated look. You know what I mean? Trying to be all mad cash, but you know it's orchestrated. And the camera angle is changing constantly, but it's basically he behind a desk talking to someone. And it's just like narrating these points. You know, giving examples of his life, which supposedly is in the book, right? He's using life experiences to go, look, this happened to me. This is what I learned from that, which, boom, is helpful for people for sure. And maybe it works better in a book because a book, there's no, you know what I mean? This is like about an hour and 40 minutes, you know what I mean? So you're trying to cram everything into that. In a book, you've got more room to breathe. So maybe the book was like, yo, that's some gold. In the film version, I really think because, right, he was talking about him at 13 being caught at school with mad drugs. Now, here's the thing, right? He's like, oh, yeah, and I got caught and I had to tell my parents and, that changed my life. And 3 months later, my parents got divorced and all of this bad stuff happened. And I'm just like, yeah, but you know what I mean? Busy created a pocket at the back of his rucksack, right? So he knew selling drugs, not a good thing. Well, here's the thing. We don't know if he was selling the drugs or if these were for kind of just for his consumption, right? There was no real... He didn't elaborate on how much drugs was in the bag. Just there were drugs in the bag, you know? Which, yeah, and listen. You might be a kid, but there's things you do know. And at 13, I knew drugs. If I was bringing drugs into school, my ass is getting in trouble. You know what I mean? And especially when you think about when Homie was born, right? As he's born later. How old is this motherfucker? He was born in 84, right? So, especially when you think of when, he's at school, right? He's 39. So, like, there's more information about drugs and, you know, this is bad. So, you know, at 13 that's not a good look. You shouldn't be doing that shit. So, but, like, there's no culpability, right? There was a lot, there's things like this and going, oh, yeah, and it was tough for me. But, yeah, but you knew. Come on, son. Like, you knew. You know what I mean? And, you know, we jump around a lot. Jump around a lot. And so there's a bit where he's like, oh, I was cheating on all girlfriends. I wasn't really caring about people. But then he's just like, oh, this girl cheated on me and I was crushed and blah, blah, blah. So it's just like, wait, did this happen before or after you were cheating on everyone? You know what I mean? Because if it happened after, I don't really give a fuck. You know what I mean? And just because someone cheats on you doesn't mean you be a dick to everyone else, right? But I was doing this. At the time, I didn't really care. I didn't care. But now, yeah, that wasn't the best way to live. You know what I mean? So it's hard for me to resonate with this dude, right? To resonate with what Homie is saying, because it feels like a whole heap of stupidness. You know what I mean? Like, he had a rule. And here's the thing, right? Because it's just like, listen, oh, you shouldn't be doing things. You shouldn't be, you know what I mean, trying to please others, or you shouldn't be like chasing these things. And then he's like, well, I wanted to create a rule because everyone else had rules named after them. And I wanted a rule. So I created the Manson rule, which, to be honest, it's nothing new, right? It's just stuff that you've heard millions of times couched in a slightly different way, which, you know, essentially a load of the stuff he talks about, it's not new, and which is the whole thing with self-help books, right? They're not creating anything like, yo, I never heard that before. It's all stuff you know, right? It's all stuff you've heard, but, you know, they kind of frame it slightly differently. It was one thing that I thought was really, I think the point you can't really make in such a broad stroke, because he talked about, I cannot remember Homie's name, but there's a dude, he was one of the founders of Metallica, got kicked out, and he started Megadeth,
right? And he was like, oh, yeah. And for his whole career, he wanted to try and beat Metallica, but Megadeth could never beat Metallica. And, you know, he focused on the wrong thing. And if he hadn't have done that, he would have been happier. Now, Omi was on Rogan's podcast, right, talking about everything and all of this. And, you know, I think he owns everything he's done and all of that. You know, it was never a pity party or anything like that. But here's the thing. If he hadn't have been, I want Megadeth to be bigger than Metallica, would Megadeth have been as good? Right, this is it, right? Sometimes people need different things to fuel what they want to achieve, right? To be that spark. So to say everyone should think like this doesn't always work, right? Some people need that nemesis, hearing that thing to chase. Because that's the thing that spurs them to achieve even more. So when he was talking about this dude and going, yeah, he shouldn't have been doing that, I was like, I wouldn't say that. Right? Now, hope, like what you would think and hope that when someone is going, look, I want to be better than this, that even with that pursuit, they are still appreciating the successes and achievements along the way, right? That's the only thing that you want, right? Someone not to kind of dismiss everything because the only thing to them is this. That's the only thing I would say with that, right? And he's like, self-esteem, it's a bad thing, right? Because everyone's about self-esteem. Again, nothing wrong with self-esteem. Now, participation trophies, yes, you can say they're trash because, you know, not everyone's a fucking winner. And knowing you just missed out, right? You just missed out on a medal. You missed out on bronze. It can spur you to try harder next time, right? And, you know, you might not be the top three in this thing, but it doesn't mean you're not going to be top three in something else, right? But I think it's good to have certain benchmarks, right? Because if everyone thinks, oh, yeah, everyone can achieve everything, it's just like, no, you can't. You can't. And it sets weird boundaries and parameters for people. So certain things are definitely for sure. You know what I mean? We need to think about, but yeah, I wasn't quite sure about this. Manson isn't a bad narrator. I will say that. I just felt the weird imagery used, you know, and the jumbled nature of the timelines doesn't necessarily help with the engagement of the documentary. But if you are a fan of self-help, right, if this is your jam, then I'm sure this will work for you. If you really enjoyed the book, then yeah, this might work for you. It's on Netflix. You can get it on Apple, Prime in the States. You know what I mean? So yeah, The Soul Art of Not Giving a Fuck is out, and consume it if you like. And let's bring it home with a new Nicolas Cage joint. It's time for The Old Way. Okay, people, so, right, a little while back, I remember hearing Nicolas Cage was going to be doing a Western, and I was like,
you know what? I need to give that a look, right? And that's what I've just done. It is called The Old Way, directed by Brett Donahue and written by Carl W. Lucas. The film is produced by Donahue, Micah Haley, Robert Pashkal Jr., R. Brian Wright, and Sasha Yellen. It is executive produced by Ness Saban, Jonathan Sabah, Fred Ross, David Pommier, Murad Moyedi, Christian Mercury, Carl W. Lucas, David Haring, Colin Flume, Joshua Bunting, Bill Bromley, and Shannon Becker. Music is handled by Andrew Morgan Smith. Cheyenne Michael handles cinematography. Frederick Wardle edits. Farrah West is on casting. Production design is from Tesla Hastings. Set decoration, we have Laura Luvu. Vicky Hales was on costume design. Hair, makeup, we've got Pamela Warden. We have Melissa Oteri, Lauren Litwin, Kiara Rose Griffin, and Macy Barry. Okay, so our cast. Well, we've got Colton Briggs, played by Nicolas Cage. His wife, Ruth, is played by Kerry Croup. He's got a daughter, right? His daughter is Brooke, and she is played by Ryan Kiara Armstrong. We then have James McAllister. So the older James is played by Noah Lee Gross, and a younger James is played by Everett Blanc. Little Jimmy's dad and his brother, we've got Walter McAllister, played by Kirby Griesbeck, and Robert McAllister, played by Boyd Kestner. There is Greg, played by Adam Lazarin White. Mark, played by Bo Linnell. Smiley, Jeff Meddy. Bubby, played by Joe Pepper. Arnie, played by Craig Branham. Mr. Jeffries is played by Skylar Stone. Boots, Shiloh Fernandez. Corporal Lawrence, played by Brett Donahue. We got Clark, played by Dean Armstrong. Marshall Jarrett, played by Nick Searcy. Big Mike, Abram Benrubi. Maria, played by Caitlin Buer. Eustace, played by Clint Howard. And the store owner is played by Philip Aguilar. So the gist of the flick is this, right? Colton Briggs, a cold-blooded gunslinger turned respectable family man. When an outlaw and his gang put Colton and his family in peril, Colton is forced to take up arms with an unlikely partner, his 12-year-old daughter. So, there you go. There you go. Now, supposedly, it said this is Cage's first Western, but I would say Prisoner of the Ghostland was pretty much a Western, You know what I mean? This one, I mean, it feels, right? Feels and looks like a Western. We've got those Western beats and everything like that. It's, you know, we start off, right, with a guy all going to get hung. And you see Cage on stage. Obviously, you're seeing that he must have brought this guy in, right? And all craziness breaks out. We then jump 20 years in the future. Now, I would say we could have done a better job of trying to age Cage's character. Right, if you're jumping 20 years, right, the only thing that was different was he didn't have a moustache. That was the aging process, man. We're going to make him shave his moustache. Now he looks older. He doesn't really. Listen, this, it's okay, right? I'd say it's fine. It's not spectacular, but it's not completely rubbish. It's just, you know, right? I mean, when we've been blessed with things like The Harder They Fall, I mean, that still one of the best motherfucking Westerns, right? I mean, there's Unforgiven, obviously. You know what I mean? When we're talking modern great Westerns, there will be blood, right? Stuff like Serafina Falls. You know what I mean? There's been some really good ones. I mean, when you look at the old spaghetti Westerns, I mean, they're fun. They're not exactly great, right? When you look at them now, they're not great. There's some hokey acting, but they are what they are, right? So, when we consider all that is out there, the old way, it's not the worst, but, you know, it's not lighting anything on fire, right? Now, you know exactly what is happening with this story, right? It's pretty obvious where it's going to go, right? Which, you know, sometimes, right, you know where something's going, but it's the journey you're taking on that is the compelling thing. Not so much here. Like, I will say, right, acting, young Ryan, she does a pretty good job. You know, she's pretty solid in this. And Everett Blunk, who played the young James, also not too bad. Now, Cage, hey, he does his thing, right? There is a moment when Cage sees the remnants of this thing, this grievous, horrendous thing that has been done, and he does give us a little bit of the Wicker Man, right? The bees, right? It's just he's right, does give us a little. He doesn't go full Cage, but other than that, it is pretty standard. You know what I mean? Just Cage kind of just giving us those beats. He's deaf. He's not deaf. He's kind of autistic, you would say. And so is his daughter, right? Which I guess, you know what I mean? There's probably, it's like when you would be like, oh, the dude was so cold. Right, showed no fear, brother. There was probably mad autistic people, but no one just really knew all of that shit back in the day. You know what I mean? which again in this is because no one's saying these characters are autistic, but I mean you see the way they're behaving, right? Definitely on the spectrum, people. So yeah, they're like some of the acting. Now I will say the older Jimmy, right? We do get a bit, it's not nuanced, right? Our bad guys in this, well, I mean, no one's innocent, right? So bad, good, you know, I mean, our antagonists in the latter part of the film, we don't really get nuanced performances. Right, it's like be like, okay, play bad, right? It's like you say that to a little kid and like, okay, hey, you better do this, right? It's a bit like that. It's a bit like that. So yeah, you know, if you want something, you want something to pass the time, right? You want something to pass the time, then the old way can be that. You don't really have to do a lot of thinking, you know? Don't have to do a lot of thinking here. It's one of them films, right? Which served their purpose, you know? Served their purpose. Sometimes you don't want to think, people. You just want to chill. Just want to chill and have your eyes entertained. Then if that's what you're looking for, The Old Way could be that film for you, you know? So yes, do not expect a Western of the caliber of Harder They Fall, but that is a high bar. It's a high motherfucking bar. You feel me? But if you like, now here's the thing. If you like some of those crazy motherfucking Cage films, well, I'm say crazy because, as I said, this, look, we've seen some crazy Cage films. You know what I mean? This is not Drive Angry. This is not Mandy. You know what I mean? It's not The Color of Space. I kind of would put this in. Where would you put this one? Maybe. I would say like a Ghost Rider, right? Put it in a Ghost Rider kind of thing. There's people that enjoyed Ghost Rider, and there's people like me that were just like, oh no. Yeah, like Ghost Rider, Knowing, you know what I mean? Those ones, right? If you enjoy those films, then I think you might enjoy The Old Way. Okay? All right, people. Hope that is helpful. Until next time, enjoy. People, grab your calendar and mark down the dates. May 31st to the 6th of June sees the return of the best love sci-fi film festival out in the streets. It's Sci-Fi London 2023, people. And you know what I mean? We have got feature films, short programs. There is the return of Hackstock, the 7th edition, right? We've got Comic Fair, Panel Borders, so much stuff to look forward to. So much stuff to look forward to, people. You know what I mean? So, yes. Now, what films will be playing. The opening night gala will see the screening of UFO Sweden. Right, that's on the 31st. Then on the 1st of June is the UK premiere of Phi 1.618. It might be pronounced something differently, but that's what I'm seeing in front of me, people. Right, the next day on the 2nd is the international premiere of Cade, The Tortured Crossing. Right. Also, we have the UK premiere of Deep Astronomy and the Romantic Sciences. Right. On Friday, the 2nd of June, is the UK premiere of Once Upon a Time in the Future 2121. Then there's also the world premiere of Uzma. The UK premiere of The Warm Season. The world premiere on Saturday the 3rd of The Great Glitch. You also have the UK premiere of The Elderly. No, there's not a load of old people turning up. It's a film, people. It's a film. Right? Then there's the UK premiere of Winter Tide. Right? On Sunday the 4th, it's the UK premiere of The Eye and the Wall. Right? You've also got Remote, which is on Monday the 5th of June. Right? That's a festival preview. You've got Mondo Nights on the 5th. There's Mad, A Night of Nuclear War. And the closing night gala on the 6th of June is The Bystanders. Now, every year, right, there's a great shorts program. And you know what I mean? Hey, it continues. It continues in 2023. So, our first shorts program, people, is Join the Dots. Okay, so that will be, I think that's screening at the Rich Mix, right? You've got Connection. There's Other Half. Keep, Delete. Cross, Moonskin Fever, All I Hear Is Static, and Company. All right, then we have got Beam Me Up, Siri. This is also at the Rich Mix, and that comprises of Sylvie Made It, Interview with Traveller 582, Roe Butler, The Operator, The Virtual Llama, The Fourth, and Take Me to Your Influencer. Then we have It's the Future, Jim. Right, this also at the Rich Mix. We have The Draft, Time Spent, Flight, 10 with a Flag, Alien Nation, Shrapnel, Solitarius Lupius, It's Dog to Make a Houseplant If Your Sandwich. Yeah, that's the name of it, people. And also Claudio's Song. Then there is Space Is the Place. Rich Mix again. We have got Dark Cell. Record, play, stop, solace, drifter, fracture, lost in the sky, and defining human. Next up is emotional intelligence, rich mix, suppression, the machine, sucker, the empathy machine, radio telescope, and the final film block of shorts is I think this is I Spy with My Little Eye. No, I don't think that's what that is called. I think it is Silver Sows Climate Crisis. Silver Sows? I think that's how you say it. I'm not quite sure, people. So this one is taking place at Picture House Central. And we have got Homing Instinct, Spa Sibrit, Time Tourists, and that's it. I think these ones will have Q&As. So there is a lot to keep you occupied, people. So do not miss it. Remember, it's the 31st of May to the 6th of June, Sci-Fi London 2023. You better not miss it, people, because it's going to be a blast. Stories have spanned the eons of time, right? We have so many genres, so many types of story, but sci-fi can encapsulate all of them, which is the joy of it, people. And here's the thing. Everyone feels that they've got a story within them, right? You watch films and you think, I could do better than that, or I've got a better take on that than they did. So this is your opportunity to put your film where your mouth is. That's right, people. The 48-hour film challenge is back. Mark it down, right? The 24th to the 26th of June. The 48-hour film challenge. Now, here's what the gist is, right? At 11 a.m. on the 24th, you will be sent, right? The title of the film you're going to be making, a prop list, a line of dialogue, and an optional idea film, right? Then you have until the Monday to write, shoot, and deliver your film. But don't worry, it just has to be 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Simple, right? You can do it. And judging the films this year, we have got the great Amanda Ray. We also have Chi Kong Chong and Marbella. Right, they are the first three judges to be announced. So stay tuned because there will be more. But people, start plotting those ideas down. Start plotting those ideas down. Register so you are set, because this is going to be another hotly contested challenge. The only question is, will you be a part of it?
You know,
Okay, people. So before we bounce, let's take a look and see what's happening in the world of film, shall we? I think we should. So, right, he's currently in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And now Matthew Rosenbaum is making his feature film directorial debut, right, with, what's the name of this? The Damning of a Country Merchant. He wrote the script as well, right? It unfolds in 1910 Indiana and follows the patriarch of a rural mercantile family whose way of life is suddenly disrupted by charismatic individualist who has entered into a secret affair with his wife. When raising tensions mistakenly lead to the death of a customer, his wounded authority and masculinity leave him vulnerable to truly bizarre and horrific forces, causing unimaginable chaos and terror. The film will be starring Mackenzie Davis and Peter Skarsgård. Bum, 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 bum. So, yes, there we go. There we go. Right, it's going to be produced by Ruben Walker, David Levine, Eric Cook, Andy Stark, and Christian Hall. So, yeah, that's coming up, people. The comedy troupe, Please Don't Destroy, have got their first feature film coming out, right? It will be hitting Peacock on the 17th of November, okay? So Ben Marshall, John Higgins, and Martin Hurley wrote the feature and direct, right? They're starring as three childhood friends who live and work together and question where their lives are headed, if anywhere at all. Ill-equipped and out of their element, they set off to find a lost treasure rumored to be buried in their local mountains. Finding it may turn out to be the easiest part. Oh, actually, they don't direct. Paul Briganti directs. Judd Apatow is producing the film. And it's co-starring Conan O'Brien, Bowen Yang, Meg's daughter, ex-Mayo, Nicole Sakura, Cedric Yarborough, and Sunita Mani. So, and there you go on that one. Right. Now, if you're a fan of Theo James, you might be happy to hear that he is starring in James Wan's new horror, which is an adaptation of a short story by Stephen King, right, called The Monkey. Follows twin brothers Hall, Hal and Bill, who discover their father's old monkey toy in the attic. A series of gruesome deaths start occurring all around them, so the brothers decide to throw the monkey away and move on with their lives, growing apart over the years. But when the mysterious deaths begin again, the brothers must reunite to find a way to destroy the monkey for good before it takes the lives of everyone close to them. Now, the thing with that is, I'm like, how the fuck you know the monkey did the deaths? You know what I mean? Like, when people start dying, are you going to go, fuck, I think it was spoons, right? No. You might just think there's a crazy person in the neighborhood killing people. Maybe the book makes it clear. Who knows? But if you're a fan of Stephen King, James Wan, and James, this could be for you. So producing will be one, Michael Clear, Jason Clough, and Dave Kaplan. Okay. Next up, people. Right, so we looked at a newish film from old Nick Cage, and he's got something else coming, a sequel, right, to, Lord of War. I didn't like that film. Ain't gonna lie. I thought it kind of sucked. But, yeah, he's in this new one called Lords of War. Right, so in this film, his character, Yuri Orlov, learns he has a son named Antoine who isn't trying to right his father's wrongs. He's trying to top them and launches a mercenary army to fight America's Middle Eastern conflicts. Right, so, I don't know. It's going to be starring Bill Skarsgård along with Cage, and Andrew Nichols is back to direct the film. Dum, dum, dum. Nichols also wrote the screenplay. So, let's see what happens. Philippe Rousselet and Fabrice Gianfemi are also producing once again. All right, so people, so another sequel that we knew about, we now have a date of when it will be hitting. I'm talking about Beetlejuice 2. Yes, Beetlejuice 2. Now, Tim Burton is back to direct. Michael Keaton is returning to play our striped pajama. This one wasn't really pajama. It was a striped suit, right? Yeah, Keaton is back as Beetlejuice. And Jenna Ortega is going to be playing Lydia Deetz, the daughter of Winona Ryder's character. Right, and Justin Theroux will also be in a film. No details of what the story is, but as I said, we know when it's dropping, and that will be the 6th of September 2024. So next year, dum 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 dum. Another sequel, another one we haven't really been asking for. Is looking like it's going to be happening, and that is a Freaky Friday 2, right? Yeah, I know. 20 years since the first one, and yeah, I mean, what are we going to do, right? Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis both supposedly want to make this film. I mean, Lohan hasn't really done a lot. There was that ropey-ass Christmas film from last year. I mean, Curtis has at least been in those... I forget the horror films, what they're called. Was it Jason? Right? I think it was Jason. Those ones. Yeah, and she was in that Everything Everywhere All at Once. So she's at least been doing shit, right? But yeah, they want to make this fucking sequel. Ugh. Right, no word on what it will be, but supposedly they've got ideas. So we'll see what happens with that one. Okay, so... yeah, we've got Jesus Christ, I just talked about it. My mind is going all over the place. Bloody hell, the James Wan film, right? The new horror based on a fucking Stephen King short, right? That we have that one coming. What the fuck was that called? Oh man, my memory sucks, people. Fucking hell, the monkey. Right, we got the monkey, and there's another Stephen King's film coming, right? This one is The Life of Chuck, right? And it is going to be directed by Stephen King aficionado Mike Flanagan, right? Who has done a few Stephen King adaptations, right? He's going to be directing, writing the script, and producing with Trevor Macy, right? The film will be starring Tom Hiddleston and Mark Hamill. Right. We don't really have a lot of information other than it follows three separate but linked stories that tell the biography of Charles Krantz in reverse, beginning with his death from a brain tumor at 39 and ending with his childhood in a supposedly haunted house. So, there we go with that. Right now, Andrew Patterson has got a new film coming, right, called The Rivals of Amziah King, which will be starring Matthew McConaughey. Yes, it's a crime thriller, right, character focused, and is set in Oklahoma, right? No other details are out. But, there you go. It's going to be produced by Patterson, Jeffrey Clifford, Will Greenfield, Teddy Swartzman, Michael Himmler, right? And David Heyman. Now this I found interesting, right? Because we are getting a Bird Box, kind of a sequel, right? It's going to be called a Bird Box Barcelona. It's dropping on the 14th of July. Now here's the thing, right? So this is a Spanish side project, right? Spin-off, as it were. So supposedly, right, this will be in the same universe of Bird Box, but it's like set in a different country. So I guess we're seeing this, you know, what there's, you know, we saw Sandra Bullock and all of that in the States. So, like, you know, this whole invasion, but in different parts of the world. And supposedly this is the first of several films set in other parts of the world, right? Which, that is intriguing. I gotta say, it's intriguing. It's, going to be directed by Alex and David Pastor, right? So I'm intrigued. I mean, I won't be watching it because it will be subtitled, which, you know, sucks. But the idea is very intriguing, I've got to say. You know what I mean? And let's end with this, right? So last week came word, right? J. Michael Stransky announced we're getting a Babylon 5 film. Whoo, right? Now, you might think, yo, but cats are dead, right? Everyone's older. It's an animation, right? So you kind of circumvent all of that stuff. Right, but now we know the title of the film and some more details, right? So it's going to be called Babylon 5, The Road Home. right? And it said, we travel across the galaxy with John Sheridan as he unexpectedly finds himself transported through multiple timelines and alternate realities in a quest to find his way back home. Which, I mean, that doesn't necessarily sound that compelling, right? Because I hated those Star Trek episodes when they're in, you know, the times of Jack the Ripper or Sherlock Holmes and shit. Like, I hated those. Hated them. But I'm a big Babylon 5 fan, so I'm going to stay mad open and see what Stransky has for us. Right, so we are getting a lot of the cast back, right? Bruce Boxleitner is coming back to voice John Sheridan. Claudia Christine will be voicing Susan Ivanova. Peter Jurczyk is Londo Mollari. Bill Mummy is Lanier. Tracy Scoggins is Elizabeth Lockley. And Patricia Tallman will be Lita Alexander, which is great. Now, with a lot of the other cast who have unfortunately passed, we now have Anthony Hansen voicing Michael Garibaldi, Phil Lamarr, Dr. Stephen Franklin, Andrew Morgado voicing Jakar, Rebecca Ridey is Delenn, and Paul Goyot will be Zapharus and Jeffrey Sheridan. Also, Peter Michael is voicing David Sheridan, and Mara Junot will be voicing other roles. So, yeah, as I said, people, I love Babylon 5, so I'm super interested to see what this is, right? All we know is it's supposedly coming in the summer, right? And Matt Peters will be producing. So there you go, right? Let's see what happened. So people, check out the films, and of course, go check out the Sci-Fi London website for more information. We'll have the links on the website, right? So you can, you know what I mean, book tickets for the festival, find out more about the 48 hour film challenge. All right, people, till next time, peace.